Are Christians arrogant? I think I'm on, am I? I'm not sure. And I wanted to just begin by looking at an image here as well. You can see what that is, can't you? 9/11. And there's a lot of connection in the popular kind of consciousness between the idea of certainty, arrogance, and being dangerous. You know, people who are religiously certain are arrogant, and actually that it can be quite dangerous. And an image that is kind of emblazoned on our minds is the planes flying into the towers is an emblem of religious certainty, isn't it? Because those guys thought that they were certainly going to be doing, they must have been pretty certain in order to have got on those planes and done what they did. So often in this sort of public consciousness, the idea of being religiously certain, spiritually secure in what you believe, having convictions that you're unwavering about, is seen as arrogant or even dangerous. And potentially you could be put on the level of the 9/11 terrorist if you said, I know what I believe is true. So that's just a sort of opening thought for you about, is it possible to be certain about what you believe without being arrogant? Are Christians arrogant? Let's just think about what the word arrogant means. So I've got a t-shirt that says, I'm not arrogant, I'm just better than you. And so there's this idea within the idea of arrogance of superiority. Or you could have the popular TV series House. Has anyone seen House? You know, it's great fun, isn't it? He's kind of like able to be incredibly abusive to almost everybody because he's a genius. So I'm kind of slightly jealous of that. And he gets away with so much because he has this ability to diagnose rare diseases, doesn't he? And he's considered to be very arrogant. And yet, the reality is he's normally right as well. So, can you be arrogant and right? Or is it just to do with being wrong? So there's just loads of questions in my mind about what does it mean to be arrogant. Here's a little badge that says, faith is the arrogance of ignorance. Faith is the arrogance of ignorance. Quite an interesting quotation. She said people that have faith are ignorant because they don't really have any basis for what they believe, and they're arrogant about their ignorance. That's the idea of that badge. I'm not saying I agree, but it's just an interesting thing that someone would go to the trouble of making a badge saying that. And then lastly, there's actually eau de toilette male kind of aftershave here called Arrogance, which you can buy and splash on your face after you shave to feel confident about yourself. So just some thoughts about arrogance, and do any of these things, do these concepts apply to Christians? Is that a fair accusation to make to Christians? I just thought I'd look at the Oxford English Dictionary definition. It says, having or revealing an exaggerated sense of one's own importance or abilities, from the Latin arrogare, meaning to claim for oneself, and as a connected word, arrogate. It's not a word we hear very often, but when someone arrogates to themselves a privilege or an authority or responsibility that isn't their own, it has the idea of kind of usurping or taking something or claiming something for yourself that isn't you. A bit like the candidates on The Apprentice. If you watch The Apprentice, when they get to the interview section, they always buff up their CVs, don't they? And they arrogate to themselves more qualifications or work experience than they've actually had. So that's an aspect of being arrogant, is to arrogate to yourself something, to claim something for yourself that you have no right to claim. Are Christians claiming something that they have no right to claim? Well, we need to define what we mean by Christian as well. So for a lot of people, being Christian is basically the same as being British. So when I was out in Stratford a few weeks ago, giving out some leaflets with the Jews for Jesus, I'm not Jewish, but I am for Jesus. So I go out with them. And this woman, fairly elderly lady, came past, and I said to her something like, you know, can I ask you what you think about Jesus? And she said, well, you know, I'm a Christian. And I said, so when did you become a Christian? And she said, well, all my life, because I'm British. And so there's this idea that of being a Christian is the same as being British. We live in a Christian country. Also, there's the idea of being a good person. I was just talking to someone just beforehand, actually, and they were saying how that was their perception of being a Christian. Before they actually became a Christian, their perception was that being a Christian is essentially being a good person. And, you know, like we talk about a good Christian gentleman, or sometimes people say that's very Christian behaviour or things like that, don't you? So. Also, there's the idea of being a pew filler, you know, going along to church. I mean, these are kind of concepts we're all quite familiar with, but I did want to sort of air them because I want to say that they're all false. They're all inadequate definitions of what it means to be a Christian, but they're still, nevertheless, very persistent in our minds somehow, that by being British, by being good, and by being church-going, we are Christians. And none of those things are true. And one other aspect of being a Christian is simply how we define ourselves sometimes in opposition to those around us. So, for example, when I was at school, I had a friend called Dominic, and I was at school with mostly Jewish kids and Hindu kids, and in Harrow, unsurprisingly perhaps. And one day he said to me, well, I'm a Christian. And I said, really, that's really interesting, that's great. So you believe in Jesus and the Bible? And he said, no, I don't believe in any of that rubbish. And I said, okay. And I was taken aback, because to me, Christian believing in Jesus is fairly connected. And it turned out that what he meant was I'm not Jewish, and so I'm Christian. And that's the idea sometimes in people's minds, is that in the absence of knowing what I am, I'll put on the census I'm Christian. I don't know, we haven't had the results yet, have we, the census? So it'd be interesting to see what percentage. It's a very high percentage in 2001. It was something like at least 60-something percent, it might have even been 70%, saying that they were Christian. And that it's hard to believe that people really do have Christian convictions to that extent in this country. So let's think about what a definition of Christian actually could be according to the Bible, which is our source. From the human perspective, from the human angle, Paul says this: I preach that they should repent and turn to God and demonstrate their repentance by their deeds. And that's a working definition of a Christian. Somebody who has repented, someone who's turned away from their old life, from their sin and their self-reliance, trusting in themselves, to trusting in God and putting trust in Jesus Christ, and specifically Jesus' death on their behalf. Somebody who's realised that they are not adequate in themselves and that they need a sacrifice to wash away their sin. That they need a substitute, someone who can replace them and take their punishment. And that comes out, that's demonstrated in the way that they live their lives. You don't just sign on a piece of paper at Billy Graham Crusade in 1953 or whatever, or later in 1980s he came back, didn't he? And that's it. It's demonstrated. It changes the way you live. And that's a Christian from a human point of view. But also the Bible talks about what it means to be a Christian from the divine angle as well. Paul also says this: because of his great love for us, God, who's rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. That's quite a lot of theological words in that. Basically, we're talking about the fact that a Christian is a spiritually dead person who is, made alive by God freely. That's how a Christian begins to see himself. Once you've, from the human angle, you realise that you know, you're not a good person, and you're sorry for what you've done, you turn to God, you say, God, please forgive me, and thank you that you provided a way in which I can be forgiven through Jesus. But then as you grow as a Christian, you start to realise that actually, from a divine perspective, it was God who grabbed a hold of you by the collar and shift you and wake you up and gave you new life. And the reason why I'm including that divine angle is because that is one of the very pertinent reasons why it is impossible for a Christian to be arrogant ultimately. Because a Christian is someone who's come to realise that they were a dead person that God brought to life. And you really can't be arrogant if you are a dead person who's been brought to life by someone else. You just might as well be arrogant lying on an operating table and then someone uses the defibrillators on you, and you come back to life and you say, ha-ha, I'm alive, aren't I wonderful? You know, it doesn't make any sense. If you're going to give any credit, it should be to the paramedics or the doctors or the paddles of the defibrillating machine, but not to you, because you were dead. And so there isn't any room for a Christian to be arrogant when you start to understand the divine angle, that it was God who made you alive because of his mercy, not because of your goodness, but because of his mercy. Because you were dead in transgressions, in your disobedience, in your sin. And grace, the whole concept of grace, is God's riches at Christ's expense. It's a free gift. It's something that you don't deserve. It's not a reward for good behaviour. It is something that God grants to you out of his own benevolence. and therefore arrogance is completely impossible and out of place. I'm not saying we always get it right, but that's how it should be. I just wanted to try and draw a distinction between authority and arrogance. Because in the video that we watched, there should be another picture there, but I'll just describe it to you. In the video we watched was Roger Federer, and there's just this kind of random guy playing badly, and then Roger Federer came along, gave him this Wilson racket, and he played well, yes? Now, if Roger Federer was going to come along and say to you, using the Wilson racket is a good idea, you would probably do well to listen to him, wouldn't you? Because he has authority on such matters. But if you remember that there was an advert series for Gillette, you know, the year blades, and they had Roger Federer, Tiger Woods, and Thierry Henry. And I'm not sure why these guys are an authority on shaving equipment. It doesn't really, it doesn't stick for me. Because they're an authority on tennis, golf, and football, it's quite interesting that Thierry Henry is actually handling the ball in the advert, which I thought was quite funny. And of course, if Tiger Woods did a book on, you know, how to be faithful to your wife, he might not be an authority on that subject. Okay? Or if, you know, Thierry Henry did a book on how to pronounce the English language. You know, so sometimes people overstep the grounds of their authority and speak about things, you know, that they don't have knowledge of. And we're all in danger of doing that, I guess. And sometimes perhaps I've done that as a Christian, perhaps you've done that. But in the area of tennis, Roger Federer is an authority. And so that's why I wanted to just think about this concept of authority. So let me just ask you this question then. Which is the more arrogant? So Roger Federer says that the Wilson BLX is the best racket range out there. Roger Federer is probably the greatest tennis player of all time. It's debatable at the moment, isn't it? Which is the more arrogant? To agree with Roger Federer that Wilson BLX is the best racket range, or to disagree with Federer and say that all rackets are the same and that you don't need a racket to play good tennis? Okay? The only way that it would not be arrogant to disagree with Federer would be if someone overtook him as the greatest player ever and told you about a different racket range. So if Nadal does eventually emerge as the greatest tennis player of all time, which he might do, and he said, no, Wilson isn't the best, you want to get Sazenger or whatever, I don't know, tennis rackets, then you'd have a right to say, I'm going to go with that, not with Federer. But as long as Federer's playing better tennis than you, you should probably listen to him because he's got some authority. And it's not arrogant of you to agree with Federer. So if you say, I just think Wilson rackets are brilliant, and someone else says, you're so arrogant, you're always going on Wilson. I say, yeah, but I've got it on good authority. Roger Federer told me. Oh, okay then. It's not arrogant. It's agreeing with an authority who knows what he's talking about. And let's apply this to Christianity. Jesus says, he is the way, the truth, the life, and that no one can come to God except through him. Jesus is the greatest spiritual authority of all time. I think that's a fairly uncontroversial statement, actually. The Bible's the best-selling book of all time. We measure the time, it's 2011, by Jesus. No one can touch Jesus' teaching or life. He has an impeccable record. No one's ever been able to identify anything that he did wrong or morally impeachable, whereas there's lots of question marks raised about other religious leaders. His teaching is remarkable. Even people that are completely secular often talk about the Sermon on the Mount. You often hear Tony Benn saying, you know, I do admire Sermon on the Mount. Quite importantly, he rose from the dead, which again is an historically attested fact. You might dispute it, but it's something to believe by all Christians and many people even who aren't Christians, that it's very hard to explain what happened to Jesus' body other than that he rose from the dead. And so for those reasons, he is the greatest spiritual authority of all time. And so therefore, what's more arrogant? To agree with Jesus that he's the only way to be forgiven and come to God, or to disagree with Jesus and say that all ways to God are the same and you don't need to be forgiven to be a good person or get to heaven? So do you understand the comparison I'm making? When a Christian is saying that Jesus is the only way and that you need to be forgiven and need to go to God, they are not being arrogant because they're not arrogating to themselves authority. They're taking the authority of Jesus, just like a tennis player would take the authority of Roger Federer, and saying, I agree with this guy because he knows what he's talking about. I don't know what I'm talking about. If it was down to me, I would just be making all kinds of random guesses about what happens after I die. But because I have an authority, Jesus, who died and rose from the dead, and therefore he can tell me what it's like on the other side. The only way it would not be arrogant to disagree, to disagree with Jesus would be if someone overtook him as the greatest man and spiritual authority ever and told you about a different way from God. So if there's someone who's better than Jesus, if someone who's more moral than Jesus, someone who's kinder than Jesus, more loving than Jesus, more sacrificial than Jesus, wiser than Jesus, have more prophetic insight than Jesus, more profound than Jesus, more understanding of the human condition than Jesus, if that person comes along, then follow them. But in the absence of that, follow Christ. What are Christians claiming? Well, Christians make a number of claims that do at first sight appear to be arrogant. They say the Bible is the only word of God, the only word of God. That all of humanity is sinful. I remember I gave someone a Christmas card once and it said, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And my friend Rachel, she gave it back to me, she said, I don't think I'm a sinner. Forgiveness cannot be achieved through good works or through religion. Heaven is certain for those who repent and believe. It's not just a vague hope, it's a certainty. And that Jesus is the only way to God. And those claims do seem arrogant. But when you ask the question, are Christians having or revealing an exaggerated sense of their own importance of abilities? The answer would be yes, if Christians were saying that they were more important or able than non-Christians. But no Christian who has read his Bible believes that he's more important than a non-Christian. Or a better person than a non-Christian. A Christian is someone who's come to the end of themselves and realises that they're not a good person at all, and they're certainly not more important than anybody around them. In fact, the Bible says, consider others more important than yourselves. Love your enemies. Are Christians arrogating to themselves something they should not in these claims? Yes, we are, if the authority lay within ourselves. But it doesn't. We believe the authority lies outside of ourselves. It lies in the flawless and changeless person of Jesus Christ, and specifically as he's revealed in the Bible. And I gave a talk last year, which I'll refer you back to, on why we can trust in the authority of the Bible. I don't have time to go into it today, but there's a few reasons there up on the screen. One of the reasons, just at random, is that there are 300 prophecies in the Old Testament that point forward to Christ, and they're all being fulfilled in Jesus. And that's a powerful testimony to the fact of the consistency of the Bible. Let's think about, as I close, non-Christians, the non-Christian claim. Generally speaking, and I know I'm generalising, so there might be quite a lot of exceptions to this, but the general non-Christian view is that the Bible is a man-made holy book among many. That the whole of humanity is good, basically good, with some rotten apples, although people do tend to contradict this when they say, well, I'm only human after they've done something wrong. That forgiveness is essentially unnecessary, or because God is nice and he'll let you in anyway, or can be achieved through good works or religiosity. Heaven is uncertain because it is arrogant to think you're definitely good enough, although of course that contradicts the point that we are all basically good. So for example, I've never met in my whole life anyone who's religious, a Muslim, a Catholic, a Hindu, and if you ask them, are you certain that you're going to go to a blissful place of everlasting happiness and paradise? They will say, well, I don't know. And that is because they are basing their future hope on their own performance, and their own performance is very varied. A Christian is certain because his future hope is not based on his performance, but on the performance of Christ, which is not varied. And therefore, when a Christian says he knows he's going to heaven, he's not being arrogant because he's not basing that on his own performance. He's basing it on the performance of Jesus. Jesus is one way to God among many. So that's a non-Christian claim. So are non-Christians arrogant? I want to turn it around, because the talks of Christians arrogant. What about non-Christians? Non-Christians arrogant. Here's a quotation from one of my favourite people ever, Richard Dawkins. It's absolutely safe to say that if you meet someone who claims not to believe in evolution, that person is ignorant, stupid, or insane, or wicked, but I'd rather not consider that. So it's not just Christians that have the corner of the market on arrogance. You know, Rich Dawkins is basically saying some very, very adamant things about evolution. The only way that you could disagree with evolution is if you were ignorant, stupid, insane, or wicked. I don't believe in evolution, so I'll let you decide which one of those four things I am. So are non-Christians arrogant? Are non-Christians having or revealing an exaggerated sense of their own importance? I would say that non-Christians are arrogant if they are saying that they're more important or able than Christians. So when Richard Dawkins says, you're stupid or ignorant not to believe in evolution, I'd say that he is being a bit arrogant because he's saying he's better than people who don't agree with him. But to be fair to people that aren't Christians, most non-Christians that I speak to do believe that all human beings are equal. Unfortunately, in the case of the new atheists, they all believe we're equally insignificant and that we have no value. I did a debate once with a guy and he said that he had no greater value than a rock. And I asked him why he cried at funerals in that case. Are non-Christians arrogating to themselves something they should not in these claims? Yes, if the authority for these claims is their flawed and changing selves. So much basis is put on science. Science is a god of this age, really, with a capital S. I believe in science. Science is the changing opinions of men. Science is how we look at evidence and we draw interpretations from it, and it's very valuable for us, especially operationally, trying to get this electricity to work. So we use science all the time. There's nothing wrong with that. But science is just another word for knowledge. It's another way of saying the way human beings understand the world, and that changes all the time. That's why we have scientific journals coming out with new information all the time. And so to base our entire hope and foundation of life on something that is so changing seems to be questionable. So the authority of these claims, is the authority of the non-Christian claim flawless and changeless? So Dawkins says it's absolutely safe to call someone who doesn't believe in evolution ignorant, stupid, wicked or insane. Is he right to say that? That it's absolutely safe to say that evolution is a proven fact and will never be disproven otherwise. I'm just using evolution as an example. You could apply many other things. Are these claims that human beings make about the world that they observe more reliable than the words of Jesus Christ? And that's a question that you've got to ask yourself. Did Jesus' character and life and the love that he displayed for humanity back up his claims? Did the miracles that he performed back up his claims? So, just to finish then, are Christians arrogant? The Apostle John says this. He says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. I just want you to notice that word know. So, in my Bible a few years ago, I got a blue highlighter pen in the book of 1 John, and I highlighted every time John uses the word know, and it is an incredible amount. Can you see all the blue in my Bible? He uses this so many times. Because he was Jesus' beloved disciple. He rested on Jesus' breast, as it were, when they were eating together. And John touched, saw, heard Jesus Christ. And he's so anxious to be writing his letters that we may know. Not that we might guess, not that we might hint, not that we might hope, but that we might know that you have eternal life. And that's not arrogant. That is a listening to and receiving and trusting the authority of the eyewitnesses who lived and walked and ate with Jesus and saw him come back from the dead. Christians are not arrogant simply because they accept Jesus' authority and uniqueness. Non-Christians may be arrogant simply because they reject Jesus' authority and uniqueness. Christians are certain of heaven because they trust Jesus and his word. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, like the places were prepared for us this morning. Jesus is going to prepare a place for you. And he says, if it were not so, I would have told you. So if I say to Jesus, well, I don't really know whether I'm going to go to heaven. I don't really know. I'm saying I doubt your word. I don't trust your authority. Doesn't that make me the arrogant one? So are you arrogant? Upon what authority are you basing your life? If this authority is yourself and your own judgment, are you not being arrogant? If this authority is Jesus, is that evident to others in the way that you live? So that's a challenge to Christians this morning. If you say that Jesus is the authority in your life, would that be identifiable by those around you? Would they be able to say about you, there goes a man whose whole life is based on Jesus? Would anyone ever be able to say that about you? I would hope so. That one day, you know, there might be a glimmer of that. You know that old quotation, if you arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Thanks very much. Are there any questions? Oh, thank you. One clap. That's always what you hope for, is the sound of one hand clapping. So anybody got any comments or thoughts?
I'm Brian Lewis.
Brian.
Thank you, Neil.
Thank you.
Just 2 points. One is that you haven't talked about the possibility of Christians slipping away. I mean, even Paul says, I have to make sure that I don't fall away again before the end. And you haven't talked at all about judgment.
Okay, wow. Fantastic. I could do another talk about that. Christians slipping away. I don't know if it directly impinges on the question of whether Christians are arrogant or not, but I will address it. Paul says, after I've preached, says in Corinthians 9, after I've preached the gospel, I need to make sure that I myself am not disqualified yet. So there are people that you've probably all known, people in your life who've been quite committed as Christians, and now they're not. I don't know if that makes any difference to the claims of Jesus Christ. All I see is that there are things in their life that have crowded that out. And very, very rarely have I found somebody who's walked away from following Christ for purely rational reasons. It's nearly always been a lifestyle choice that's been made because of they've wanted to follow a certain course, whether it be sexual relationships, or it could be that they get obsessed with finance in some way, or they just get bogged down in, you know, creating their own little empire. Not a lot of people that I've met have really just simply through reading the Bible come to believe it isn't true after having believed it. So that's the first point. About judgment, well, again, it all comes down to whether you trust in the words of Jesus or not. So, for example, Jesus, 18% of what Jesus said was about hell. So, on that basis, 18% of what I say as a speaker should be about judgment. You're right. And Jesus spoke about dividing the whole of humanity into the sheep and the goats. And the sheep on his right hand side, he said, would go to eternal life, and the goats to everlasting destruction. So it is very serious if we are prepared to say here and now that we reject the claims of Jesus Christ. There is a consequence we may have to face for that. And again, I don't say that on my own authority. I'm not someone who enjoys the concept of hell. I find it hard to feel that God of love would send anyone to hell. I don't want my relatives to go to hell. But I do believe that Jesus has the final say on these things. Because and not only that, he's provided a way for us to escape. So he's not really being very mean. It's like a fireman saying, listen, climb out of the window, the house is on fire, but if you stay in the bed, you'll burn to death. And I think really that's the best that he could offer. So I would recommend that you climb on the fireman's back and get out. Any other questions?
Why do you think people think Christians are arrogant? Why are we talking about this today? What's your take on it, being that you obviously go around and meet a lot of people?
Yeah.
So what's going on?
Well, how did I start with the 9/11 thing, I think it's to do with religious certainty, that born-again Christians, Bible-believing Christians, tend to be very certain about what they believe. And, as I say, in the modern mind, that's connected with being violent. So you see images of Muslims demonstrating against the cartoons of the Prophet Muhammad. They're religiously certain. And then you see Bible-believing Christians saying Jesus is the only way to God, believe him, repent and believe him. And so there's a connection made in people's minds between fundamentalism and violence, and being certain about what you believe, and being arrogant. So I think that's probably why. But also I think because sometimes when people are certain, they are being arrogant. You know? So if I was to say, come up to you and say, I'll tell you how to do your job properly. What's your job?
I'm a health visitor.
Right, well, so look, let me tell you how to be a health visitor. That would be being arrogant, because I don't have any, I have no authority on this question. And so sometimes Christians can be arrogant about other issues, but in terms of what we believe about Christ, we're saying authority is not ourselves, it's in Jesus. So I think that's probably, and also because it's an easy way to avoid the question. So if you're challenging somebody about where they stand with God, and they say, oh, you're just being arrogant, it can be a bit of a smokescreen, I think. So that's why it's an issue that comes up. And finally, because we live in a post-modern society where the big value above all other values is tolerance. And the great thing is that nobody says that anybody's right or anybody's wrong, but then it's your opinion, it's my opinion. And so there's a rejection of absolutism. So when absolutism comes on in any form,
people regard that as being equated with arrogance. But actually that is an inconsistent way to live, because we're absolutists about all kinds of things all the time. You know, we absolutely believe in gravity, otherwise, you know, we behave in a very extraordinary fashion. People are absolutists, I would hope, about their marriages. So it's not arrogant to say, I am committed to being 100% faithful and loving my wife. That's so arrogant, you're so absolutist. Maybe that's true for you, but it's not. So, you know, or I love my children, that's very arrogant. So do you see what I mean? People are not able to live consistently within that mindset of postmodernism. But it has been constructed so people can avoid the claims of Christ and step away from that and just say, oh, that's true for you but not true for me. But if Judgment Day is real, it'll be true for everybody. And therefore we have to come to terms with it. Someone else is going to take them.
There seem to be a tremendous number of people that are seeking, I mean non-Christians, they're looking for answers. And yet we find it very difficult to convince people that this is the right way. What's your experience and your take on that? That what more can be done to really bring people to become Christians?
Okay, about quite a few things in response to that. One first thing would be the Bible says no one seeks after God, no one understands, there's no one righteous, not even one. All have turned aside and all have gone astray. So, talking about the point I made earlier about people being spiritually dead, that's all of us. There is an element of, because of the hostility and rebellion in the human heart against our Creator, no one really does actively seek out God, in one sense. In another sense, God does seem to be stirring up people's hearts. People are curious, people do ask questions, and people do genuinely seem to be seeking as well. It's a bit of a paradox. One of the reasons why people aren't becoming Christians is because we're not praying about it. Christians are not interceding. Christians don't get on their knees like they used to, and like they should. So we're not seeing the kind of numbers of people that we would like to see come in. Another reason is that I said right at the end, which is that there isn't enough evidence in our lives for the reality of what we say we believe. So if you said, are Christians arrogant? I'd say no, but are Christians consistent? Or are Christians living up to the light of what they believe? I'd say you have to agree with them, that we're not. And so there just isn't enough of the joy, I suppose, of the hope that we have within us. We get bogged down in this world as well, and we live like everybody else. And so of course people aren't going to ask questions. I think that's one of the challenges for us today, is that we say to ourselves, we pray, Lord, I'm going to leave this breakfast this morning. I'd really like you to make me distinct. I'd like you to make me the kind of person that attracts questions and say, no, what is it? What is it with you? What are you aiming for in your life? You don't seem to be that interested in getting loads of money. You don't seem to be that interested in having affairs and secretary or whatever. You know, you seem to be, you know, what is going on? Are you just a moral person, or is there something more, you know? So I think that's the reason. I think it's the decline in our culture. I think that it's the lack of spiritual leadership in high places. I think it's the loss of religious education in schools, partly. But I think really the church has to look to itself and ask, why are we not praying and why are we not living what we believe? Yeah. I put myself first in all of that in terms of being the need to be corrected on that. Have you ever been accused of being arrogant? have you dealt with that as a Christian?
I haven't been accused of that, but what I find difficult to deal with are, and we've already touched on this, is people who just say, well, there are so many ways to God, and you know, your way's fine for you, and my way's fine for me, and it's like nailing jello to a tree. You just can't, you know, you can't attack that because it's so amorphous, and like, every way's right, and we're all going to heaven.
I mean, just a simple thing that is really nice, in the sense I hope you're right, something saying that. But what if you're wrong? What if you're wrong? And also, on what basis do you base that? Or what authority do you have to say that statement? I know it sounds nice what you're saying, but is it perhaps a little bit arrogant or complacent to be... it sounds like you're being quite vague and not really asserting it. You're making quite a strong assertion now, aren't you? You're being quite dogmatic. You're saying, dogmatically, I'm a universalist. I believe everyone's going to go to heaven. And that's a very dangerous claim. Because if you're wrong, and people can only be saved through Christ, then you really are being very harsh and cruel to people. Because you're shutting the gate of heaven whilst at the same time staying open to them. When I was at university, a girl said to me, "I'm a Buddhist, do you think I'm going to go to hell?" It's not the kind of question that you really want to have thrown at you. And I said, well, A, I don't know where you're going to go because I'm not God. It's not me to judge you. I don't want to judge you. And B, I really hope you don't go to hell. But I do know what the Bible says, and that is it says that Jesus is the only way. So I would really encourage you to believe in him, and that way you can be certain of going to heaven. But she said, yes, but if I remain as a Buddhist, will I go to hell? And I said, yes. And she said, that is so arrogant. I said, if I was claiming that I'd figured that out myself, that it was the religion of Neil, and I was imposing on that you, I would understand that. But I'm talking about someone called Jesus who's very wise and very nice. So you might want to listen to me. She wasn't happy, but... So that's the issue. If people use arrogant, I think, as a synonym for, I don't like what you're saying. And I think you have to risk that. And we have to risk offending people if we care about them.